Welcome back to another week of What Do You Know with Joe. Let's get to the intro.
Sit down and chop it up. Let's talk about it.
Well, let's ask the right question.
Who's convinced?
We're starting to see the mind frame stuff now.
It's What Do You Know with Joe. Welcome to another great week of What Do You Know with Joe. As always, we've got Baxter, we've got Winnie, we've got Lindsay. Got the little nugget doing well outside for the pre-pod this week, but it's a beautiful day out. Can't wait for everyone to hear this episode this week. We've got a good friend of mine, an account executive for Virtru. His name is Will Smith. Everyone will enjoy this conversation. We chop up some great sales tactics, as well as, you know, some of the stuff that has made us into the great salesman that we are, as well as, you know, diving into everyone's favorite topics towards the end. I think everyone will enjoy the conversation, get a laugh or two, and really kind of get an understanding of, you know, what it is to be in sales a little bit more. There's no post-pod, but, you know, it's a long conversation. I think there's enough for everyone to get something out of. As always, before I jump right into the episode, I want to encourage everyone to go check out Sneakerhead Golf. The promo is still active. Everyone can get some sweet, sweet gear. Those head covers are amazing. Orders going out the door. It's awesome. Please go check out Sneakerhead Golf and use the promo code JOE15, J-O-E-1-5, to get a 15% discount on your order. Not going to take up any more time. Get to the banger episode with Will. Please enjoy.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of What You Know with Joe. I've got a good friend and a buddy of mine. He'll be talking to us about his career, and also we got some great topics. Everyone, this is Will Smith. I like to say the Will Smith, the other guy's an imposter. But Will, thank you so much for joining.
Real happy to join, Joe. It's been a long time coming. We've been talking about it. I'm happy to be here and to chop it up.
You look great, man. You're doing great. You look great. This guy's a stud. So you and I have a very similar background as far as like careers. You're in software sales, correct? Like that's your background?
Yeah, I mean, what do you think about the software sales thing? Like I it's what I say, but I feel kind of douchey saying it sometimes. I'm in sales for a tech company.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm in software sales. Yes.
Right. No, it's funny you said that, and we'll probably chop it up more. It's one of those things, like, even I'll go to like my boss and I'll be like, I don't know how to describe what I do to people. Like, I don't now in my, like, in the role I have now, like, there's selling involved, but like even then, like, I just also love how sometimes they'll try to put like a creative spin on it too and be like, you just tell people you're a advisor to whatever's, and it's like I
saw solutions consultant, solutions
right.
advisor.
Right.
Yeah. Exactly. No, I'm just an account executive. Like, it's
let's just call it what it is.
On LinkedIn, there's a bunch of creative ways to
right.
spin it. But I mean, at the end of the day, we're selling the company's technology, so
whatever helps you sleep at night. But yeah, no, so like, how did you like get into software sales? When did you like, or like, when did you like start like thinking, all right, this is probably going to be my career choice?
Yeah, so at the end of college, I mean, I really didn't know what I wanted to do. Like, all throughout college, wasn't sure what route I was going to go. People were, you know, doing all sorts of bit. I always thought technology was cool. I always liked, you know, video games. I don't know. I had a computer when I was younger, but like,
yeah.
I mean, once senior year came around, started interviewing for sales positions. I mean, you start as a BDR, you start as a SDR. So I probably had like 8 or 9 interviews before I got my job offer from HireLogic. Mm-hmm. And I think I was a psychology major too. So,
Cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And I was like knowing like kind of why I was thinking the way I think and like why
I
make decisions, why, you know, like that whole thing. So that kind of tied into it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I knew I didn't want to go down like practicing like psychology. I was not going to like run case studies and stuff. No shot. I'm not, that's not me. That's not me. But yeah, I mean, and also I am lucky enough to have a dad that was in that world, like way back, like in the 80s, 90s, that when it really started to boom.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of always like through him heard about what that world looked like. So kind of naturally happened that way too.
Gotcha. No, yeah, I'm just also thinking about, you'd make a great therapist, you know, someone I can tell all my thoughts to, or dude, something.
therapy, like practicing psychology and like running case studies and stuff, that I'm mm-hmm. like, but
no, yeah, you probably get some crazy. Yeah,
you probably, I could be an unlicensed therapist, you know, charge dude. charge $5.
You could charge a ton, and also, I mean, you're always the person to talk to, so like everyone would just dump their shit out. I think so. I think it's kind of cool that also like you're a psychology major, and like the first company you worked at is Higher Logic. Like that's kind of interesting in itself. I know, right? Just putting it together. What was Higher Logic? I know you've moved on from there. What is Higher Logic, and like what were they doing, and like what's their background? Mm-hmm. Quick question on you. Yeah, I'm sure people back in the old job are probably like, oh, this is everything we prepped them for. What is Higher Logic, Will?
Higher Logic, their technology is online communities and marketing automation. So they have like two kind of pieces of what they do. Very like nonprofit centric on both sides. So online communities, basically a collaborative space for an organization or a group of people. So a lot of associations, like, okay. So if we were part of like the North American Sales Association, they have a community online where, you know, we go network with people, ask questions about like, you know, maybe what we're struggling with in our day to day, or like what we're doing well in sales, and like, you know, kind of like network, learn from one, like continued learning, that sort of thing. And then marketing automation is, very nonprofit specific for Higher Logic, but like a HubSpot or something like marketing automation, like that same kind of idea. Hey, we saw you looking around our website, looking at these products. You want to buy one? You know, you send that email. Amazon. You look at shoes on Amazon. You buy those shoes, and they're like, hey, yeah, get these two.
Right. You need the socks that go with it as well. Okay, that makes sense. Well, great job. Now I feel like I understand. And that's actually kind of a cool software, thinking about like building that community. I'm sure a lot of people can use that. So, and for those, I know you and I know, but like for those who don't know, you started off as a BDR, and like for those who have been in a BDR role, they know that's a lot of where you create and learn a lot of your skills and what you're going to do. I'm sure you've probably, I have a follow-up question to it, but you know, what is, for those who don't know, what is a BDR, and then, you know, what was it like being a BDR at Higher Logic?
BDRs, SDRs, ADRs, whatever you want to call them,
right? There's a million names.
Once again, in technology, there's like all these I think they're the front line of, they're the soldiers, dude. They're the warriors of the sales team, because like without them, you're not getting a lot of opportunities. I mean, they create opportunities. Like, I mean, at Higher Logic, it was strictly cold. You know, I think a lot of organizations, that's kind of how it is. But, you know, a lot of cold outreach, cold calling, fighting to get meetings for your reps. So that's what I think of a BDR is. And what did I write down here? What did I learn? I said for this the question you said, I said, sales ain't easy. Perseverance, next play. Collaboration and winning is fun.
So that's
what I wrote down. You learn right away. Like, is it SDR? It's the rite of passage into sales. Like, it's not easy. Like, at the end of the day, if anyone says being in BDR or SDR is easy, they're lying to you. It's like, that shit weighs on you after you're making 50, 100 cold calls a day for like 9 months, or whatever it is. That said, you know, how do you get good at it? I think it's, number one, trying to have fun, like having fun with, I think it was easier in the office. It was a lot easier in the office. SDR remote, I didn't like it. And then, you know, having fun, like hearing your other teammates, you know, hearing what they're saying, and then perseverance, the next play is big. You know, we were both sports guys. I think that's how we transition to sales pretty easily. Like, that's a pretty big cliche, but like next play, you get shit on a call, forget about it, make the next one. Once you win, it's, you know, it's great. It's great.
Yeah.
It's great.
I really like that mentality of next play, because like, it's very applicable. I mean, you learn that in sports, or like you learn it, but like, especially like, that makes me think of, but like, honestly, like it's very applicable to sales, because it's like, you could just phone with so-and-so, whoever's like, hey, we're having a webinar. We'd love for you to show up. Get the fuck off the phone. I don't want to talk to you. I'm already call with. Okay, bud, you have a great day. And it's like, oh, man, all right, on to the next. But like,
I mean, the amount of times I wanted to be like, all right, I love you. All right, love you.
That would be awesome. Because it's like, you know, what are they going to say?
Yeah, like right after they click, all right, love you so much, bye.
All right. Okay, I love you too. But you know, like, how many would you say, like, what was one day you remember you probably made, like, the most, in one sitting, what was the most amount of cold calls or, like, dry calls you probably made?
So, like, not that many. Hierologic, like, probably, like, 90. I'd
say okay.
90. I know a lot of people, like, had to
that's
do 100.
Good, dude. No, that's pretty good. Like, that's a good amount. 90's
that's
good amount. A good amount of cold calls.
Yeah, that's a good lot. It's a good amount. Yeah, ours were kind of more targeted. They weren't, like, you know, the like, machine dialing. Like, we didn't have any of them. But, yeah, what about you?
I mean, I think one day it was, like, like a little bit more, just, like, 110. But even then, like, I'm not going to name names. Like, it's not. But, like, you know, it's we'll say this is Sarah Koff, this, you know, the made-up company. They were, like, they had the mentality where it was, like, especially with their BDRs, it was, like, hey, you'd be like, hey, dude, I just made like 110 calls. Like the call stats are on the screens or whatever. You're doing great. They'd be like, you could probably make like 10 more, 15 more. It's like, the fuck? Yep. No, I can't. No, I can't. Like, what? I thought 110 or something was good, but I don't want to make more. Like, I'm good. Like, I thought, and I won maybe like two or three of, or like, you know, 10 of them. But I thought that was a good number, sure. But like, honestly, like, that's what you were saying. Like, I don't think I would have been able to make that many calls if it wasn't like after, like, you know, the, like, you go through like 20, you turn to your buddy and you're like, how did those go? Or like, you just chop it up with the people like in your alleyway, because like, it makes it that much better.
Yeah, you're staring at your wall after like 30 of them.
God, like, man.
Well, all right, I only have 30 left or whatever.
Right. And like, you go to like, you're just like, I can't, no one else, like, it's nice because like, especially two people can relate to it, right? Because they're doing the same thing as you. So like, when you're in like that row with other BD reps or you're hanging out with other ones, like, they can relate very much to the calls you're going, or you can like chop it up as far as like strategies and things like that. It definitely, I 10 times out of 10 would rather do it in an office like than do it like remotely, because as a remote SDR, it's just like, I'd rather rub a cheese grater over my head. Like, I just couldn't do it.
I mean, dude, it's tough. I like they're the soldiers, dude. They really are.
Gonna be.
But yeah, the, I think, and also something we used to say, like a couple reps and I that, you know, would hit number. It was like, hey, we make 30 cold calls and we book two of them. Isn't that better than making like 80 and booking two or like?
Yeah. 100%.
At the end of the day, the conversion rate is, I think, much more important, but you know, a lot of leadership does like to, you know, well, you know, make 20 more. You could book another one.
You could do with 60 calls. How many more we got? Probably only two or three more, man.
Well, I'm not being as strategic with all. Yeah, if I'm making.
Right. Whatever. Right. Exactly. So when you were at HireLogic, what territory were you covering?
So when I was BDR, it switched a lot. Something I learned. Okay. Something I learned quickly at HireLogic. You got to be able to adjust. You got to be able to, you know, you can't grow complacent and like be comfortable, because that 1 week, you know, you'd be covering something for, you know, X amount of day or, you know, months, and like, hey, we're going to flip you over to this entirely different territory. So I started with accounts. I had two reps accounts that were in North America, and they were all like under 5 million in revenue. And then I got bumped up to accounts that were, I had two other reps that were like 25 million in revenue around there. And then like 3 or 4 months later, I got bumped up again to like fifth. It was like 100 million or something like that.
Okay.
Two reps there, but like it would constantly switch. It's all very nonprofit and association centric there.
Gotcha.
So yeah, you got to be able to. So I did work with six. I did work with six different reps. All of them dope. All of them great. But yeah, like it'd be a little weird, because you're like, all right, I just got in a great groove with these two guys, and then they're like,
right. All right.
But that's just, you know, that's how it goes.
I agree. Yeah, I was gonna say that definitely. I feel like definitely helps you prepare for like life, and that like you're gonna have to work with different people throughout your entire thing. So like being able to be flexible and switch it up, like it always is bittersweet, especially when you do make that connection, because you're like, man, I really liked working with them, and like especially like if you move on to another rep and you're like, I remember one rep I moved into, like when I was at McAfee, like I moved into another territory, and before I even started, like everyone was kind of like, hey, he's a little difficult to work with. And I was like, that's not what you want to hear off the bat, but all right, let's just make it work. Like I gotta work with him. So let's get it cracking. What was, I guess we kind of answered that one already as far as like, you know, well, have you ever had any, like, as while you were at Higher Logic, did you ever have, maybe like a situation where like it was just like a, not like you were doing a bad call, it was just a bad call, the person just wasn't having it, they were like, I thought I told you to take me off your call list, and then, or like something like that, and then flip, did you ever have one where you're like, I, because like everyone thinks about like their wins where they're like, oh, like this made me feel really good, I'm glad I'm kind of like, you know, I feel like I'm in the right zone. Did you have one of each maybe where you're like, okay, that was really bad, but also, hey, this one went really, really well?
Yeah. I mean, I think we all can have, we all can relate to that question in sales. Yeah. There was, so I wrote down three for the bad calls. There was like,
oh yes.
There's a guy that always talks a bunch and says fucking nothing.
So true.
Calls, like you're on the phone for like 20 minutes and the first like 4 or 5 minutes, you're like, all right, he's like, he's letting loose, he's telling me about what they're doing over there, this is a good one. And then about 5 minutes later, like, all right, this is done, this is terrible.
Right, this is he just needs
this guy's not buying shit.
No one talks to him in his office, so he just needed someone to talk to.
I swear to God, like, we're therapy speaking of for right. some people just like need something to, like, I don't know, vent to. So I wrote that down, nothing really specific there, but then I did have this one lady who I cold called. She said she was interested. She was like, yeah, give me a call back next week. Call her back next week. It's like 9 a.m. It's pretty early. And yeah. Like, he's like, hey, like, Will, who is this? What was this? And I was like, yeah, we spoke last week. You told me to give you a ring this week. Like,
yeah,
you
know,
see if we could schedule something, you know, that you mentioned that you were free, you know, this week. So just, right. You know, what are your thoughts? And she's like, what are you talking about? What do you guys do? Started talking about what we do. And then like I overhear like mid pitch, she's like, Angie, listen to this. And like, she's like, her and her like fucking little bunk mate there are like listening to my pitch, and I can start like, they start to laugh. And I'm,
oh,
like,
no.
I'm like, hold up. I like stop. I'm like, I was like, what's going on over there? Are you guys, she's like, well, like this is so not applicable for what we do. This is, I don't know why you're cold calling. I was like, so you don't remember talking to me last week. Let's get this straight, miss. Like,
right.
I was like, is that memory working over there? But that one was, I was like, Jesus Christ, like that sucks, you know, like right. laughing mid pitch. I ended up like calling her a couple more times.
Nice.
I changed my name. Never booked her though.
Who'd you, wait, do you remember what name you used?
Dude, I used like Larry.
I love that. That's actually great.
Greg. I would say Greg every now and then.
That's a good one, dude. I like that mentality.
Also, I said suit angry guy. Because that's specific to Jersey, dude. I swear to God, guys from Jersey, they don't fuck it with cold calls.
Bro, why are you calling me?
Yeah. But so we all have those. We all have those.
Oh yeah. I agree. I think a lot of people, when they hear that, are going to be able to relate to it when you get out of here. I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate to that for sure, because they'll like think about their calls and, oh, dude, that you just gave me an idea too. I want to speak with all the salespeople in the world and just like hear like their stories of just the calls that they, or like what's going on.
It's a really good question. It's a really good question. You know, everyone has a good one.
Right. Exactly. If you've been in a BDR or like an SDR or something, one of the DRs, not Dominican Republic, you can relate to that. And then on the flip side, did you ever have one where you're like, you got off the phone and you're like, that was a solid win, like I'm happy about that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't have one. I couldn't really, I mean, there was a number of ones where you just tackle objections left and right, and then they're like, okay, that, yeah, why not, like we can talk at the end of the week, and then you book it, and then like then they end up closing, which is really cool. But I couldn't think of anything like specific there. I did have one from when I'm at Virtue a couple months ago. So not a cold call or anything. They inbounded. But okay. is this nonprofit out of Virginia? that does a lot of like foster care work and like matching parents with kids and stuff.
Cool.
And they need to protect, we'll talk about what Virtue does later, but they need to like protect a lot of the sensitive information there. And the process in which they were doing it was like really, really poor. They were like faxing and like all this weird stuff.
Almost manual.
Saw Virtue, the executive director there, like the sweetest lady. And it just worked perfectly. So that's the one. And then like they're doing stuff that's for a good cause. So it's like, all right, that's dope.
Yeah. Make you feel good. Warm your heart a little bit. You're like, yeah, I was part of that cop too. Like that was me.
But, I mean, we're not lives out here by any means, but
no, but it's nice to get a win. You know, you get yourself a pat. But I agree. I completely agree. Like, and I'm sure you've met people in the industry too. Like sometimes you don't even need a college degree to do what we do. Sometimes, you know, you see people like there's been people I've met at CareSoft or whatever that, you know, they've just been through high school or they, you know, whatever the case may be. But at the same time too, you know, it is, you know, there is a level of skill and there is, you know, a niceness to when you, you know, are successful with it. And I'm sure a lot of people, when they feel that way about anything they do. So then when you were still at Higher Logic, and this is, I guess, and a lot of people, you know, I know, especially like I've gotten this before and it's kind of like, hey man, don't give me shit. What like, cause I know they probably don't understand, what were some of those responsibilities that changed from you going from just a regular BDR to like a senior BDR?
Yep. Yeah. I mean, you gotta be on your shit for sure. You're covering bigger accounts. You're tackling bigger deals that, that are going to close if you're inbounding a bunch. Like you gotta be able to convert those. And I think leadership too, you gotta be able to be a mentor, be vocal. Talk to the team, encourage the team more. If you want to be a good senior BDR like that, I think that's what's needed. You got to be able to talk to your fellow BDRs, see what their issues are, what they're struggling with, and like turn those struggles into successes.
Right.
Even more so, just got to be able to close. You got to be able to convert. And work well with those senior reps too.
Yeah. I think people also underestimate like the ability to close too. Like not like, you know, you gotta be able to ask those questions and like those closing things and like be able to like you said, close the deal. Cause like that's where I feel a lot of people can fumble it. Like they'll have good conversations or like not necessarily fumble it, but they won't convert as many, you know, leads to wins because they just don't know how, or they don't feel like either confident in their skills that they can't close it. But that is actually a huge skill, being able to like, you know, get them to convert and be a win case or pat, like, you know, have a successful, you know, lead turn into like a win.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's where psychology has helped me a little bit, but, and dude, trust me, I try to get better every day. Like, I have some calls where I hang up. I'm like, holy shit, that was terrible.
Still to this day, yeah, for sure.
That was bad. But like, I do think you're so right there. Like, just knowing when to close. Like, sometimes less is more. Like, if you get on a call and you just got to be able to like tone match and like kind of hear, you know, where they're coming from. If you can kind of tell they're already bought in, like, let's be like, okay, cool, let's do it. Let's get you guys going. Or yeah, like I used to talk myself out of a lot of deals. So like, I think less is more a lot. Mm-hmm. And I mean, yeah, it's so big. You just got to be able to, you know, hey, at the end of the day, it's what you're supposed to do.
Right.
So
exactly. As a case in point too, like to the story, I think one of the things that helped me, and like similar to like what you said in that story, I mean, it's better like me, like putting that, like either moving on to the next step or closing or doing that. It's better than like, you know, going through it and giving some of the potential either like, I've already been laughed at before. I've already been like, you know, someone's already messed with me before. Like, what's the worst that can happen if I say, hey, like, let's move you forward, or let's close this up, or like, what's our next steps to like, you know, get this done, or like, you know, putting that on them, like, what's the worst they can say? No. So it's like, all right, let's just go on.
Yeah.
So when did you know you're ready to like jump over to an AE role, like an account executive? Cause like that's, you know, when you get an AE role, those are the big seats. Those are the ones like you said, BDRs are on the front line, but a lot of times people will turn to the AE and say, hey, what are we doing here? Or like what, like that sometimes he's the captain. Yeah.
More responsibility for sure. Yeah. I mean, after like a year, I was like a year, I did the BDR role thing for about a year and a half. Mm-hmm. 9 months, a year of it, I was like, okay, let's I'd love to actually have my own book and like close business. I mean, big commission off that and not meal or deals or meetings. So my role at HireLogic as an AE was definitely an eye opener for like true sales. I mean, it was a headhunter, like straight. Yeah. You know, I did not have a BDR, I rarely had any inbound, but very minimum. And I knew that going into it. And yeah, my territory was North America, a little bit of like Canada, under 1 million in revenue. So tiny nonprofits associated. A lot
of transactional stuff. Yeah.
It was not easy. I mean, so you're booking your own stuff. You're booking all your own meetings. So, you know, you're BDR and AE essentially in that role. It's really great, I think, for my career just in sales to get an idea of what that feels like. And it was able to close some stuff, not a whole lot, but
we got some. That's all that matters. Some is better than none.
It was great. I did that for about 9 months, and about 9 months that I was like, all right, I do think I need to. It was about 2.5 years at HireLogic. I was like, all right, I think I need to look elsewhere.
True. And so that's when you made that switch to Virtue. Now, kind of similar question I asked, what is Virtue? You kind of alluded to it a little bit earlier. What's Virtue, and you know what's their like target market?
This is big for Matt Howard, if you're watching this. So what is Virtue? I mean, we're a data protection company that focuses on, you know, respecting and protecting organizations' data. You know, how do we do that? Our CTO will accurately develop something called the TDF, or the Trusted Data Format, which is kind of just the core of our technology. And it's that TDF that kind of allows us to, I think of it like as a bodyguard kind of, that you're attaching to, whether it's an email or maybe like a file going out of an application, and that bodyguard's only allowing access to anyone that you, the sender, allows to have access to.
It's kind of like a bouncer.
It's a bouncer. And they're like, no one's beating that bouncer up.
One's getting past that bouncer.
Like, it's like Andre the Giant of the bouncers. He's a bad motherfucker.
No one's getting through. I like that phrase you use, respect and protect client. Like,
oh yeah,
you want to respect the data.
That's our marketing team. I can't take
ownership. Like that a lot. Respect the data. So like, are you still covering like, so it's, is it like HireLogic in that it's like a lot of nonprofit companies that like buy it, or do you also sell into like, you know, commercial companies in the United States or in Canada too, like similar territories or completely different?
Yeah, it's any organization that's 10 to 100 employees.
So
any kind of commercial, nonprofit. And I've closed someone out of like the Philippines before. Like every now and then we'll get a weird lead, you know. But they found a lead somehow. And anything from fintech to, you know, banking, finance, real estate. We see a lot of healthcare. Healthcare is like a majority of our customer base, just folks that need to meet HIPAA compliance. We help a lot of organizations. That's you know, I think a big reason. I mean, it is a big reason Virtue's been successful is like just the regulatory side of things. Like, you know, laws saying, hey, you need to, you know, protect your patient's health information.
For real.
So that's helped us out a lot. And those regulations continue to pop up. So that's why I'm excited for, you know, the future with Virtue as well. It's one to 100. And it's been great, dude. It's very inbound focused. So coming from that hunter role, it's quite the great change, I'd say.
Like you're not having to like they know your software, they know your stuff, and they want to use it. So it's a warmer lead essentially. Like it's not as like you're not having to do the first half where it's like explaining what you guys do and like selling them as to why like it's better than either a competitor or another product. It's they already know that and they're coming to you. I 100% agree. Those are definitely a lot more fun. Those are a lot more they're a little bit like more it's a lot more softer to go into for sure. So with the AE role now at Virtue, do you have like a BD rep under you or like an ISR, or is it like HireLogic or your own team?
Yeah, so it's me and two other dudes that are rocking out these 10 to 100s. No BDRs. We do have a team about 9 or 10, but they're pretty like enterprise focused. It's very I don't know, on a given month it's like 20 or so inbound leads.
Gotcha.
We do a little bit of cold calling for cold calling never dies.
You'll always if you're in sales, like there's a good chance you will always cold, because even the I'm sure like even the ones that are handing enterprise deals, even if you're making like a cold call or like a call to a competitor where like that may like you may know who you're going, that's still technically like a cold call, because like you have no, you're like you're trying to get them to come over, you're trying to convert them to do something. Like it's still, you still have to go from like the very first steps like you're doing as a BDR rep. Like that's there, the cold calls, like you said, will never die.
We still have to, you know, go through the introductory process. Like not everyone's coming us by. Like that's not, yeah, we do have to, we do have competitors. We do have to kind of, you know, show our value and why, you know, we're a better solution and a just better organization to work with. It's been great. It's definitely high velocity sale. You know, the technology at my range of, size organization, it's not the most expensive thing ever. So it's just pretty high volume of deals, which is a lot of fun. It's compared to what I was doing before, like a bigger deal you have maybe like one a month or whatever it is.
Right.
Is multiple, you know, number of deals a month, which is fun to work.
Yeah. No, I was going to say that definitely also from a commission standpoint, you feel more comfortable too. You're like, man, I don't have a lot just riding on this one deal. I always can bank. Like I have like a few things in the pipe.
For sure.
Do you guys, this is just a random sales question too, from like, do you use Salesforce or like what CRM tool do you guys use, or like are there other like products and stuff that you use like that help you be successful in your role?
Yeah,
that was off the top question too. I didn't ask you that one before. So this is coming up here.
We use Salesforce. We use what else? I mean, we use a number of tools. Yeah, I mean, Salesforce is by far the big one.
Yeah.
We were a Zoom shop. I like the Google Meet. We are a Google partner. So the respect is there for that.
No Google Meets.
Yeah, but it's been fine, I guess. I don't know. I kind of like Zoom.
honestly, it is nice. It is very nice.
We use Outreach too. We use Outreach a lot. Like Sales Loft is a competitor there.
Yeah.
So that's like where you do a lot of your dialing from and like notes from. Mm-hmm. But basically out of those two, a majority of the day. And yeah, we're a Google shop. Like, so just to give you an idea of like what Virtue would look like. I mean, you could download it right now for free if you wanted to for personal
use. Can I get a demo? Can I get a demo
real quick, bro? I got you. but it is like really, it is simple. I mean, it's like our like bread and butter solution is just an email plugin.
Okay.
So if you download Virtue on
your
like Chrome, you'll just see like a Virtue like toggle to turn encryption. It's encryption on and off. So if you want to send an email and like Google won't have access, only you and that other recipient will have access. So that's kind of what it looks like.
That also made me spark a question to what you were saying. I know you have like other people in your role, and a lot of times I'm surprised I didn't ask this for HireLogic as well. Do you work with like an SE or like a systems engineer or a sales engineer as well for a lot? Like, is there one part of your team where like you're always bringing them on the call? And like a lot of times some salespeople will be like, you know, they bring in their sales engineer, or they'll bring in the engineer to kind of help sweeten the deal. So they can be like, cause you know, I'll admit like, and most of the time with like a lot of this technology, you know, I know surface level and like, I know like the good amount of it, but once the customers start, and maybe more in my role now, like I know a little bit more, but like especially early on when I was like at McAfee and stuff, like I would give them service level, and then they dive into like Kubernetes and all this stuff, and like, all right, let me bring in Dave. Dave knows a lot about that, and it's like, Dave, I need your help.
Yeah, so what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to take that IP.
Is it plugged in? Okay, that's the first step. All right, let's bring in our SE. He's really good.
Did you turn it off? Yes.
Okay, that usually works for me.
You were the sales reps. We're definitely not the engineers.
No.
I say it all the time. I would not thrive or would not be able to close as many deals as I do without the engineers, dude. They're mm-hmm. I think that's how it is in majority organizations. They're awesome. We have a team of three right now, and then we have one on the federal side. If I'm talking, because the majority of people I'll talk to, like prospects wise, are like IT managers or like CISO, and they're technical, and that's when I'm like, all right, let me bring in my buddy here. He's gonna rock this technical conversation with you, and I can get a little bit, but not,
right,
yeah, not too much.
Have you ever got I've done it before, and I've like, it's like you said, like sometimes you're at the end of the phone and you're like, oh, that was bad. Have you ever like, I always try to like feel a little bit like, if I'm feeling like I've kind of subdued a little bit now, because like I know like I shouldn't try to bite off more than I chew. But there was one time where I was like feeling confident in like my technical acumen, let's say, and like I started asking this person a question, and they responded back with like, oh, but like, you know, because it was like, it was for VMware stuff, so it was like the cluster or whatever, and they're like, oh, so does, and this is back when I like first like was doing it, so they were like, oh, like, you know, when the hypervisor is sitting on this, where is like the, like, you know, where is like the RAM, and I was like, this
are you able to, yeah, are you able to integrate with like
X, yeah,
and,
like, I was like,
what are the specs on that, I'll just be like, hey, I don't want to tell you anything that's wrong. Like,
right, exactly, right. I don't want to give you wrong information.
I want you to hear it straight from the source. I want you to like make sure that you're comfortable. Right. And in the majority, like, oh, like 9.9 times out of the 10, they're like, oh yeah, totally understand. I'll be like, hey, let me talk to my team, and I can just follow up with you on email, or you know, I'll introduce you to an engineer.
Mm-hmm. I was like hitting them up. That's a great question. You know, let me bring that back to my team, and we'll get you the answer. Like, because it's like I have no idea. I can't tell you right now. And if I tell you something, and then you come back to me, you can be able to point to me and say, "Well, Joe told me you could." And it's like, "Well, I'm fucked now."
Yeah, yeah. No, if I do try to do that, I'll be like, "Hey, John. Like, this is not. I think we can, but." Like, this is not too certain.
I want to be safe. Let me just double check that. I'm pretty sure you're right. I'm pretty sure we can. That sounds right, but let me just double check.
Yeah, yeah.
So are you, you know, especially that you're at like Virtue, you know, what are you like looking forward to, especially maybe over the next few quarters? Like, are you excited about, like, I think you did mention there's a couple things you're excited about, or like why you're more excited to be at Virtue. Is there some good stuff coming up in the pipe in the upcoming quarters, or are you guys like, you know, doing a lot of cool things with, you know, other, maybe other integrators or things like that?
Yeah. So our partnership with Google is pretty strong. It's very strong. So they have an event coming up. There's a new product that came out called client side encryption. It's a good product, but we are essentially like the key manager, the key host for it. Okay. And I've seen a good amount of leads in the last couple of months from that. So as Google kind of ramps that up, hopefully we see a lot more customers. It's just another product to sell. So that's cool.
That's cool.
Regulations are big. I mentioned regulations. There's something called CMMC, and I won't even try to tackle it, but it's a regulation that like contractors with the government need to meet.
Yeah.
It's pretty like stringent regulation. Like, folks are gonna have to meet it at some point. It's not in effect yet, so we see a decent amount of leads from that. We actually have a webinar coming up around CMMC. And there's a couple others, but yeah, like as those regulations continue to pop up, it would be cool to see leads come in from those. And then also zero trust, like the ideology of zero trust, we definitely are part of that conversation. And as organizations are looking to, like I said, respect and protect data at the data level, you know, you got your Octas, you got your different kinds of other technologies that meet zero trust, but they do different sorts of kinds of things. If, you know, you're sending information out of an application and it's leaving mm-hmm. your environment, do you have control over it? That's kind of where Virtue comes into play.
Yeah.
As folks are starting to move to that zero trust ideology, we hope to be a part of the conversation there too. And the federal side of things, I think is where Virtue is really excited too. Because if we can get in there, just kind of expands, land and expand, baby.
I like that too. You've got some good words going on your side from a marketing perspective. Land and expand, respect and protect. I like it. No, federal is a big beast. Federal and the government likes to spend their money, and they need to be, and it needs to be protected. So that's a good point. Before we jump into the fun topics of things, because we've got some great topics as well to cover, and I'm very curious to hear about your fifth grader's answer.
Yeah, I'm excited to dive into that with them.
Is there anything about Virtue or your sales experience you want to leave the guests with? Just anyone who might be either thinking about going into, sales or, the technology field, or, who might be trying to be an SDR, or that one kid right now who's he or she might be a SDR that's remote and they're like, I can't do this anymore. What would you say to that one person being like, hey, keep your head down, you got this?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, next play, I'm going back to the next play thing. Yes. It ain't easy. Like everyone knows it's not. Everyone fucking knows it's not. So don't be discouraged. You're not alone in the fact that, hey, you made 500 calls this last week and you didn't book a meeting. Like sales is a lot of luck too. I mean, you make 50 calls and you might book like 5 of them. That's a great day.
It is.
Great to talk to leadership too. I think ask them, leadership loves when you talk to them. That shows that you want to get better. I think the worst thing you can do is just be a quiet SDR or BDR. Yeah. Be a little more introverted. That's not a problem, but be vocal, voice your opinion. Next play, baby. Try to have fun with it too. I think that was huge. If someone says, fuck you, hang up. Oh, I love you so much.
Right. Exactly. Be like, wait a minute, fuck me. Hang on. Whoa. No, yeah, exactly. You got to have fun with it, because at the end of the day, right, you will get into this pit of despair where you're like, man, this person told me to go fuck myself. Man, I'll go tell you to go fuck yourself. Who cares? It's all good.
I'd be lying if I didn't say it. After someone's hangs up like that, I'm like, well, fuck this. Fuck that.
Right. You're like, I'm done with this day. Sometimes it is okay to just close that laptop and be like, we'll pick it up again tomorrow. But yeah, I mean, totally. Completely agree. Just think next play. I'd be like, yeah, it's done. Go pick up a joint. Go smoke about it. You'll be all right. Have a beer. You'll be all right. It'll be good. All right. So moving on into some great topics before we get into, I do have a draft for us and the fifth grade question. Before we do that, how's fantasy doing? How are we doing this year so far? I know, unfortunately, we won't say his name, but unfortunately, he did cop an L this past week.
Yeah, I did catch an L. I actually caught a Colt. I caught all L's, dude. It's bad.
No, across the three. Are you in two, three
leagues? I'm in work league, and I'm in our league, and then I have another league, and it was those L's across the board. So I'm 1-2, 1-2, and 0-2. Don't take my advice.
Sorry, bro.
It's cold. It's cold in these streets. But in our league, hey, getting scored on by the top scorer in the first 2 weeks, what are you gonna do? Whatever.
Right. It's hard. I think we said it before. You can't physically play defense against them or anything. It is some guys are gonna be hot some weeks. They're gonna be cold some week. That's the nature of fantasy football.
Yeah, dude. I'm pretty ass at fantasy at the end of the day. Twice and lost twice. That's all I can say.
Who is it? Fantasy is sure. Yes, you can do a lot of homework. And some people can really follow the waiver wires and subscribe to things. But at the end of the day, it is you can't guarantee me that every week so-and-so is going to have X amount of points. They could be shit. It's right. Exactly. It's all, a lot of it is luck. You can't, which leads me into our next question. How are you doing? Have you put any sweet bets out, so far with football or baseball or anything yet?
Well, I did have, so I wanted to mention
any meat on the menu.
My JT, Justin Thomas winning the PGA Championship. That's my best bet of the year. Cause he was down. I don't know if you watched any of that.
Yeah.
He was down like, I think it was like four back or so, and him and Zalatoris had a playoff and he ended up winning. So I bet on him.
Zalatoris can't win.
He finally got his though. He finally got his.
Have you seen that video of him doing that putting stroke where like and it's just, I was like, that man gets so in shambles so fast.
I'll use it on the course if I have like a really shitty putt, just Zalatoris. But that was my best bet. I think I put $10 on JT Saturday night when he was back four.
Nice.
He was like 3,000 or something like that. So it was 10 to win 300.
Nice.
That was the best one of the year. Nice. And then, dude, my FanDuel account's been dwindling since the season started. I took the Bills last night and they won.
So. That was good. To cover or just money line?
Minus 10, yeah.
Okay. Because, dude, if there's ever, like, because, like, I've especially recently, just because, like, I saw the statistic. If you ever need, like, a reason or, like, a thing to, like, get you off of Gambly for a little bit or to, like, take it, there's a little feature on the FanDuel app that'll tell you how much you've put in versus how much you've won. And when that number is crazily off and negative, it'll make you be like, fuck. Like, I always thought my logic was like, oh, I only do these like crazy $1 parlays.
Yeah, you drop $1.47.
But at the same time, when you do that 100 times or 20 times, it adds up. And like, I'll never forget, like, I think at one point I looked at it, it was like, even with those kind of parlays and stuff like that, I was at like, it was a bad differential, and I was like, oh, this isn't good. I should probably be more educated on my bets, unless you're fucking like Eli or someone who just puts out these crazy, like, that dude's got a plug. I don't know who it is. We're going to find him. But yeah, that dude,
he found some sort of glitch in the Matrix. Like,
he figured it out. And he has any.
I am very, very proud of, I have not put money into my FanDuel account since the end of March Madness.
Good job. Great job.
I don't know. Like, so made up like to $400 or like $500 after March Madness. And I've just been riding that. And I think I'm at like 50 now. But
that's what I'm talking about. But hey, here's the thing.
Yeah, it's all fun money. It's not real.
Right. Exactly. And then that's part of it too. Like you said, like, you know, who knows, you'll hit that big fatty coming up. And then it's like, we're back at 400. Here we go. We have the luck back.
Dustin Thomas or whatever it is. Yeah.
Did you have any, you got me into them, especially last football season. I think more people, cause I like doing the parlays, but at the same time, the teasers are very intriguing. Have you had any teasers hit yet?
Yeah, I need to get back on the teasers, I think.
I'm a big fan of them. It's interesting. I still, when I first made one, and this was probably, again, why my differential was so bad, I didn't know how it worked. And I was like, oh, this looks fun. Let's just put in a teaser. I don't know what these numbers mean, but let's just go into it.
trial and error.
Right, exactly. That was a dumb thing to do. No, yeah, dude, the teasers are very interesting to me. They're very intriguing.
The other one I like that I haven't really taken much of is the over 3.5 field goals.
Oh,
you ever do that?
Extra points, just like field goals in the
like they do them for like primetime games. So just over three, shout out PFT commenter. He promoted that for a while, like a couple years back. It's such a fun bet to take because every single time there's a field goal, you're like, all right.
Come on, baby. I've never been so excited for a field goal.
Sorry, dude, I'm loud. I would have reduced my noise. Okay.
This past weekend, the Giants Panthers game was literally all fucking field goals. Like, damn, that would have been a great game. That would have hit. Oh, dude, fuck. Okay.
So maybe throw that one into the mix every now and then. It's a fun
one. For real. I do something similar with baseball. I'll do like a three or four leg parlay of either there will either be like zero, like, because in baseball, especially like in the middle of the year, my logic was like, hey, like, you're bound, like, sure, there's innings where teams will go off, like, you know, four runs to one run, all that stuff. But like at the same time, like, majority of the time, there's going to be 0-0 innings. So like, I would always do like, and especially towards like the bottom of the lineup, but I always be like, all right, I'm going to put 3-leg parlay of like this three, like inning five for like these three games are all going to be a tie, or like there'll be zero runs scored. And I had some success with them, but like it's definitely
0-0, or could it's just tied.
If you do, I've gotten saved slash butt fucked by both of that. If you do tie, it pays. Like if they score 1-1, that's still like it's a tie. But at the same time, if you do the zero, it's like fuck. Or like if they tie, but it's still
your game. Play out pretty well. Is that a
good it will, pick? And that's because the odds on it are fucking crazy. So like it. But again, I mean, it just goes back to like the thing that the house always wins, and it's like I know if I'm thinking of that, there's probably some brainiac down the road like, hey, Joe, that's not gonna hit. But like, all right, yeah, go ahead and give us your money. How was
like $2 on that though to win like 100 or whatever? Yeah, that's cool.
Right, exactly. How's I mean, it was a tough week. I mean, when you're playing the number one team, it's, you know, they're going to win. USC football is looking okay. A little Beamer ball going on down there in Columbia. Any optimism for the year, or especially maybe even to basketball? You guys are a basketball school too, from men's and women's.
Yeah, making it to the Final Four once, we're a basketball school for sure.
It counts. It counts.
What a year that was. But yeah, I am going down in November for the Tennessee game, which is the weekend before Thanksgiving. So I'll be down there for that. Who knows, man? I mean, I always say like 6-7, 7-6. The defense is not great. I think we had 4 or 5 starters on our defense out last week against Georgia, so that's never gonna help. Beamer ball though. Hey, I love Beamer.
Dude, that punt, that fake punt for like 14 or like 20 yards. Everyone saw that play against Georgia. Yeah. Like, that was fucking awesome. It's like, hell yeah. The punter was going nuts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's tough when you play Georgia, Alabama, Texas A&M, all these guys all the time. But I mean, I don't know. We looked pretty swag. We looked good this past weekend. That's all that matters.
South Carolina always has swag. I will say that. They definitely always dress well.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, alrighty. Now I was reading this question when I sent it, and I did it, and it may be stereotypical because I feel as though unless you went to a specific school below Virginia, like you can't really answer this question, or maybe not even below Virginia, but maybe like you have to hit like Richmond, Charlottesville area for it to count. I had put, I want you to draft like your 3 fried chicken places, because I know you've been to, because I know you've experienced a hell of a lot of them being in Columbia. They have some great ones. But at the same time, too, I'm going to give you the opportunity. Do you want to switch it to overall just fast food, or do you want to keep it fresh?
Let's do fast food.
All right. I'm going to give you the honors. You can go first. Let me hear your number one overall pick.
Okay. Number one overall is Taco Bell.
Ah, great fucking choice.
Got to be. Yeah. I mean, the amount of – no, wait. You can still use the ones I say, though, right?
I'm going to put it – I mean, I can, but, like, at the same time, that was going to be my number one overall pick. You can't go wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it's so solid. I do Dorito Loco Taco every time. Every time. And why do they take away nacho fries? Bring – those should be around – it should be illegal to not have nacho fries on the menu at Taco Bell. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Taco Bell.
That's
you
a good
have,
one.
You got Bojangles on there. That's mine, too.
That's I mean.
Got to go to Bo's.
It's Bo time. My name's Alan. What can I get for you today? Well, I feel great now. I will take
Bojangles. Bojangles. And then third, I got Wendy's on there. I love Wendy's. Frosty from Wendy's is great.
You can't go wrong. Okay.
What you got?
First overall pick. I want – it's 1 and 2 could go back and forth for me. But, you know, to me, this is just a clap. Like, I've never not – even when sometimes I'm sober, I'm like, yo, I need this now. I'm going to go McDonald's as the number one pick. You know, you can't go wrong. I know it's a cliche favorite for a lot of people, but, it, you know, there's a reason. Number two, Taco Bell. Number three, I want to say Bojangles, but I think I'm going to push it to my honorable mentions, and I'm going to actually say Cookout. Cookout, to me – you know, it's, you know, and I know a lot of people, it's not their favorite, but at the same time, you give me another place, but for $5, I can get a huge burger, some chicken fingers and a quesadilla, and we'll call it a day. It's just
value.
It's right. It's a, the value is there, and they make some. They do make a pretty mean sweet tea over there. So you know, I will push Bojangles in my honorable mention. If we were just doing fried chicken, it'd easily be in my top three. Yeah.
Dude, Cookout's a great choice. Cookout's a great choice, and the the milkshakes they have there, so good.
And it's all like $7, and it's like, do we go around again? Do we just get two trays? Like, what are we doing? Like, this is a great idea. Oh yeah, man,
I need that in my life, bro. I haven't had that. I need that.
So I know, especially now that I'm out in the burbs, they just opened one in Virginia in Manassas for a Cookout. But at the same time, too, it's like, am I going to drive 40 minutes to go get a Cookout meal? The answer might be yes. But at the same time, like it is
a special business. Occasion. That might be like a, you know, Sunday.
Yeah.
Before football, you scoop up a huge lug of Cookout.
Yeah, and you're right, and you pick up a decent amount because you're like, this is a one-time trip, and this is good. We're gonna be out here. And then honestly, dude, it was one of those things, especially in school, like when I would like, especially, and I'm sure you can test this. You go down and you have like, because you're in like the South a little bit, you have like Bojangles, Cookout, Raising Cane's, all these great fucking places. And then you come back up here and you're like, what the fuck? Like, I don't. Where is all this shit? Now people are getting smart enough and like, dude, a Bojangles just opened up.
What the fuck is people being healthy, bro?
Why? You can be healthy and still have great food, man. It's called balance. It's called everything's in. Billy Petrakis said this to me.
Greens. Oh yeah,
Billy. I'll never forget. I think it was we were talking about something else, but he was like, everything's great in moderation. I mean, he didn't coin that phrase, but I'll never forget hearing it come out of young Billiam's mouth. And that definitely applies to fucking food as well. You can have a Bojangles meal and still live a healthy lifestyle.
Yeah, you don't need to be ludicrous about it. Like, get yourself some Taco Bell every now and then.
Exactly. Have a salad. Throw that in there too every now and then, and some vegetables and fruit. But at the same time, yeah, go. If you want a crunch wrap, go get a crunch wrap.
Yeah, the DC area is very, I mean, I get it. You want to keep your people healthy, but. Like,
I get it.
Yeah, we are missing out on those Cookouts on the and Chick-fil-A. Chick-fil-A is hard to find.
Really?
We have one like 10 minutes away, but it's like, all right, I need that to be 5.
Right. Seriously, though, there's a huge difference between that differentiating of 5 to 10 minutes. It's the make or break. It really is.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, and now the question I think everyone's been waiting for, and I'm very excited. I've asked this question to many people. Shouts out to Dwayne. Shouts out to Idris. And all the people I've asked. So I'm pretty sure you know the scene, like in Step Brothers, and that's what I usually tell people to like set the stage. But at the same time, in the event, there's a swarm of fifth graders coming at you, and they are amped up. They are coming at you. How many do you think you could take down before they overpower you? And I'm very curious to hear your reasoning as to why.
Yeah, so I don't want to jump right into a number or anything. I want to kind of, we can like, because there's multiple...
There's variables. There's variables.
There's a lot that goes into that. Like, I mean, how many of these kids have hit puberty? How many? Like, dude, you get one of those guys. You get one of those guys that looks like he's, I don't
he's
know.
He's like 5'5", a buck 50 with a mustache. Yeah. And he's like, he's 5'12".
Yeah, dude. So how many of those little suckers have hit puberty? Two, like, how smart are they? How, are we talking a school? From like,
dude, these are good points.
Mississippi, or are we talking a school that's like a gifted in like, or is this school have some people that are going to Harvard? You know,
who right, knows? Right, right. Are they intelligent so, folk?
What's their battle IQ? I think that needs to be thrown in there.
Okay.
And then like, so yeah, I mean, yeah, like those are the two, physicality and IQ, and that's got to go into it. But let you know, I guess we'll just say it's an even, right? Like,
dude,
they're average. I love that. They're average, right?
I love that. The fact that I'm going to put that on people, the fact that you brought up puberty and also like the back like that, because like, you know, like people will bring up like, oh, what's the, like, you know, what's the situation? Are we on like a playground? They worry about that stuff. You need to think about the intelligence and the overall, like how big these kids are. Cause fifth graders are a little bit built now. And especially if they've hit puberty, those big boys and girls, they can put down some damage. They're not just milk bones anymore.
No. And they're eating healthy now too. They're not eating.
Yeah, thanks a lot, as we just said.
It's all sweet green fuckers. Yeah. So I don't know, I said I'd take out a whole classroom. I think I could knock out like 32.
Okay.
Before I go down, I think I'm wiry.
You're an athletic guy. A lot of people don't know this.
I'm bony. I'm wiry. So, you know, I'm throwing like my knees. I'm throwing my elbows.
Right. Anything you got to do to take these fuckers down.
Honestly, you know, there's probably that one short little person that hasn't hit puberty yet and won't until like 10th grade. They're getting punted. I'm trying to punt one.
I was going to say, you're getting made an example.
Into two others and I take three out at once.
That can happen, though. That can happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, that's a great point.
What has everyone else said? Like, I think I got a classroom, but I don't know. Kind of depends.
I like that number. I mean, and those who don't know you, I mean, for those who do know you as well, for you to say 32, 30, I would believe that. You're very athletic and spry guy. I think you, like you said, you could take one of them who's prepubescent, still pubescent, however the fuck you say it, and pick them up and throw them right into a group of three or four. That's going to take a...
Maybe you swing, or you do
yeah, exactly. Hold down by pigtail, just boom, 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 boom. Like, the other thing, too, is like you said as well, and I think it's a big part of it, is the intelligence factor. Now, at fifth grade, I didn't know to go for specific spots. Now I know if I take out a kid's ACL or, like, you know, fuck up their meniscus, they're down. They don't know why they're down, and it's going to hurt. So I'm going to take as many of those fuckers' legs out as I can, like just a judo kick to the inside of the knee, and, like, that's going to take you out. And they're going to be like, I don't know why this hurts so bad. It's like, yeah, you're going to be out for 6 to 12 months.
Yeah, you're going to have to go to rehab.
Exactly. And they're like, exactly. Intelligence there is key.
The other thing that was brought up via Billy and Allie Kemp this is more Allie.
Okay. She's a nurse, right? She's no medical background.
She's a nurse. She's making bank right now. Shout out Allie.
Go ECU, go Pirates.
She mentioned the psychological warfare. These kids have phones. They're, you know, God bless them. Like, they're doing shit that we didn't have to deal with when it comes you know, dealing with just the idea of what you should be when you're in fifth grade, whatever the fuck. I mean, you should be like jumping into trash cans when you're in fifth grade. We're taking them out mentally. Like, if they're too physical, we're saying we're taking, hey, you know, listen, like, You should be a little more developed now. You know, like,
that's how big you are. I was expecting to be bigger.
Yeah, yeah. You should probably be like, oh god. Oh, that's your that acne you have right now. Like,
oh gosh,
you're doing acne. You're doing acne already in fifth grade. Like,
right, exactly. Oh, and that'll from a mental standpoint, like, oh, that'll take them down. And that just gets them off their game.
They'll fold right away.
Oh, like a chair. Oh, so easy. And you know, it's funny. Like, I respect that part of it because. That is too a lot of people's mentality. Like, I asked this one buddy of mine, JD, that was his aspect. He was like, I'm gonna, like, especially not maybe some from like that perspective, but like young kids are so influenced, or like, we'll see, like, if it happens to one of them and it's brutal, they'll be like, oh, like, they get weary very quick. They lose confidence in their own skills. If you just pummel the shit out of, you pick one little kid, or not little, I shouldn't say this, but if you pick one fucker and you're like, I'm gonna make an example of this one, and you just destroy that fucker, from a mental standpoint, they're like, fuck, like, I was as big as him, or I'm as big. Was he going to do that to me? And their whole psyche is completely messed up. And you can probably take down twice as many as you thought before.
I'm sticking to 32. I don't want to be too.
No, that's a respectful number. That's a respectful 32. Number. My buddy Kai said 51. And I was like, what makes you think you're so tough, dude? Like, that's way too many kids.
Why not just.
So I don't think he one extra. Not right. Exactly. Right. When I asked it to Dwayne Harris, I think he understood it, but at the same time, like, I mean, he's an NFL athlete, so I get it. He was like, I'm taking out all those fucking kids, and I'm apologize to the parents later. Like, I'm going to take all the parts. And I was like, hell yeah, get them. But then I asked it to, like, the golfer, Bo Hogue, and he was like, I may have to strap up my shoes and get the fuck out of there. Like, little kids, like, because he brought up the fact that, like.
Oh, he's a gentleman?
What?
Is he a gentleman?
Bo is a very, he is a gentleman and a scholar. That man is
good on him for,
right.
Yeah.
And then I talked to, I had two people give me that kind of answer, and they were like, you know, just to, you know, I, so maybe like, if I couldn't do it, like, you know, they were confident in their physical skills as far as like being able to outrun or and have the stamina to run away from him, which I sometimes understand you got to take that aspect. But at the same time too, like he brought up, like, because there's so many of them and they are very quick, you got to, in that situation, keep your head on a swivel, because like you never know when one could come out behind you and like kick out the back of your leg or like do something like that. But at that same point too, I was like, I feel like in his situation, I was like, what if you're coming back from the course and you got some clubs on you? You take one fucker out with the 3-iron and you just be like, all right, you bastards, stay the hell away from me.
I mean, you got golf clubs that are in trouble. Bo's knocking out a plethora of kids. You do have to keep that head on a swivel. Very sneaky.
They are. But no, dude, like, honestly, like, and the other thing he brought up too, that I think is a good point is, well, he was like, golfers like to, you know, left and right say, you know, and he's like, not say we aren't athletic or like we aren't, but he was like, you know, we're still golfers at the end of the day. And I was like, oh, so damn, he just kind of just said, hey, golfers aren't necessarily the biggest guys, or not even necessarily the biggest, but they're like, not necessarily, you know, they're not football players or, you know.
I look at Hideki Matsuyama, like, He's got a little chonk.
That right? I was gonna say that dude probably could. He could probably jump down from the top from the slide and just take out probably a good amount of kids. But dude, I appreciate you answering that question. That's always a fun one for sure.
It's a great question.
So before I let you go, because I've had your attention for over an hour now, and I can't thank you enough. Is there any other questions or any other topics you want to bring up, anything, you know, that you really like or you want some people to know about? One of the things I love doing about this is learning from everyone, and even though I've known you for so many years, you know, I'm still learning a lot. And so what's something, if you have anything else, I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, unfortunately I really don't, Joe.
That's fine.
But I do. Yeah, I mean, anything on your end, like any for the show, like what do we have, any secrets you can share? I mean, I don't want to.
Oh, I do. You know what? I will share this with you after, once we sign off. Because I can't have it in a recorded episode, but I still want to tell you. There's definitely, I mean, honestly, dude, like all the skills that I've learned from being a sales rep and like going through BDR and stuff, literally is 99% of the stuff I do for the podcast is like sending out those cold emails, sending out like all that stuff. Coordinating, yeah. Having to do all the coordination, like the verbiage you might use in like an email, that all came from when I was like doing myself stuff, and still stuff that I learned from my job today, like I bring it over to like the podcast because it's very applicable. So it's definitely helped me like realize that, like, you know, those skills that you learn from a sales rep and those skills, like those are legitimate skills that you can apply to like a ton of other things and like you can utilize in any aspect. So I think
confidence, dude. I feel like,
right, trying to do some other stuff with other people.
Yeah, try it up. Have you heard of Scott Hansen?
Oh yeah, is that the guy like the red zone guy?
Yeah,
and he's always talking so intensely.
One of my buddies from South Carolina had him on one of his podcasts.
Oh yeah, I'm gonna reach out to him.
This was like 2 years ago. It's a while ago. But yeah, give him a shot. I mean, yeah, whatever his agent is. Yeah, Joe, it's been a pleasure, dude.
I can't wait. And honestly, dude, I'm excited you had a good time or you had fun. I hope you had fun.
I had a great time. It was good. We're an hour 20 in here.
Dude, that's crazy. But stick around a little bit. I can tell you that other thing. For that, we'll close it. We'll put a little hat or a little bow, not a hat. Put a little bow on this episode and we'll call it a day. We'll head to the outro.
A little tie on this.
A little tight, but thanks, Will. Thanks for coming.
Yeah, love you, Joe.
Love you, Will.